Welcome to episode number 311 of the Family Podcast Network. Today we're going to clarify a little bit of my beliefs about public education and how what you may think I think is not really what I think. That's right, we're going to talk a little bit about that. Plus, I'm going to issue a message to teachers everywhere. Hey, I want to believe that you're exceptional, but it's time to step it up. Stay tuned for that and more.
Welcome to the Family Podcast Network, where we help you work with your tough kids, and even those that aren't. Coming to you from Tuscola, Texas, home and headquarters of the Family Podcast Network, here's your host, Trey Gibson.
Well, hello and welcome to this episode of the Family Podcast Network, helping you work with your tough kids, and even those that aren't. It doesn't matter if you're expecting, if you're a brand new mom and dad, or even if you're a longtime seasoned parent. There is always, and I mean it, always, something we can do to take our parenting to the next level. The date today is June 15th, 2014. It is start of the week, Monday. Topic for today is going to be public education and why exceptional teachers are so rare and what you can do to be an exceptional teacher. That's right. This is one topic that I seem to royally piss more people off than any other topic I go over is this right here, is when I cover public education. Because of that, I've seen some people misrepresenting my belief systems and my thoughts. People have begun to say that I believe things that I do not. We're going to clarify what my belief systems today on public education are and why it's probably not what you think. It's not what you think. I do not despise public education. What I despise are teachers that operate within this system doing nothing to change that system and want to be patted on the back as though they did something special. We're going to stay tuned for that, and we're going to get into that pretty heavy-duty topic. And we're also going to talk today about how do we step it up. We're going to give you guys some practical applications for teachers out there. I've got some thoughts for you. And it's not just send all the kids home to homeschool like we do our kids. I've got some thoughts. But we need some teachers with some stones that'll step up and do these things. Before we get into that, guys, let's get into some quick housekeeping. If you want to get notified of new episodes, jump over to thehamleypodcast.com. Right-hand side, you enter your name and your email address. When you do that, you'll get put on a special list that will allow you to stay up to date on what new shows did Trey come out with today, what did he talk about, what were the subjects and the sub-subjects and all that other good jazz. Make sure that you never miss out on that one episode. If you just could have heard it, would have changed everything. Don't forget to go like us on Facebook. This is where this conversation started, was a conversation on Facebook over the Family Podcast Network. So consider jumping over there and joining that. I'm telling you, you will not regret it. We talk about some good memes, some good ideas, some good thoughts, and we get into some disagreements like we did today. And I do want to throw out a quick thank you and salutation and salute to one of our listeners, Connie. I saw your message out there. I was going to respond, and man, I just couldn't come with anything better than what you put, Connie. Well done. And you know who you are. You know which thread it was, and I sure do appreciate you. Also, guys, don't forget, if you want to support the show, 30 cents per episode, 3 dimes. That's right. I feel like you're getting 3 dimes out of every one of these, and it's been tugging at you. You're like, man, I really just need to support Trey and help this show go further, farther, and expand. Consider becoming a PTACker. That's Parents for Ethical Treatment of Adolescents and Kids. That's our funny little twist to say, hey, let's support this show. Let's help other families take it a little bit further to take their parenting to that next level. I want to be a part of that and booster train. When you do that, you do get access to exclusive content available only to members. I've got members now that are going on their second and third years now. You know how cool that is? So consider becoming a PTACker. When you do that, you do get access to Trey unadulterated. Anytime you can send me emails, you will be the first person I respond to. I've got one listener, John, and let me tell you, he is Johnny on the spot about that. He has acknowledged the fact that he can get almost instantaneous access to Trey, so consider doing that while we can. It's a great way to do that. You also get access to all of the shows. That's right, we're on episode 311 as of today, but you can get all 311 shows that you can download directly onto your phone, listen to them at any time. You don't have to stream them. Save some time if you want to. Next off, guys, you also get access to discounts and stuff like that to the folks who've been on here. For those of you guys who listened to the show last week, we had Demetria Clark came on to talk about herbalism. I did hit her up. One of the things I want to do with the PTAC membership is once you join it, I will always be adding stuff to it as I go without you having to pay anymore. You'll never pay any more than what you're doing with that. And when you do, you'll get access to the cool stuff. So Demetria has offered up to $100. She's going to get scholarship prices out to PTAC members. So if you're a PTAC member and there was an herbal class that you wanted to take, she said in some cases you can get up to $100 off through her stuff. So anyway, if you want that and you're a PTACer, message me and I will get you the information. I will also put it up on the PTAC page, available only to the members, so you can see what you need to do to get into Demetria's classes for a prorated price for MS, for almost said MSB members, for those of you know what that means, for PTAC members. So jump over on that. Guys, if you have any questions, comments, thoughts, concerns, lots of ways to contact me. Let's go ahead and skip it today because I don't want to get too long in this intro segment before we get into our topic, which again is public education and why exceptional teachers are so rare. So today's show is going to have two different points. Before I lose any of you, because I know some of you guys are going to come listen today, probably that either are teachers or have teachers in your family. So I want you to understand the two things that I'm going to do. Number one, I'm going to clarify my beliefs about public education. Now, we homeschool our kids. Very specifically, we do something called unschooling with our kids. We do not think that that is the end-all, fix-all of all education with kids. We do not think that's the only way that we ever should do it. It's just a way that we have chosen to do it that we found to be highly effective with our lifestyle and in our kids' ability to learn. So with that said, if unschooling is too foreign to you, just think of it this way. We homeschool our kids. We school our kids at our house. We do not think that this is the golden standard. We do not think that this is what all kids should do. So I'm going to clarify today about what do I actually believe about public education before I royally honk a whole bunch of people off unwittingly. Now, I don't mind if I honk people off. I don't mind pissing people off when it comes to education. I really don't care. I'm not here to pamper you and coddle you and make you feel sweet and wonderful about yourself. I'm here to talk about what do these kids need. And that's what I bring in the show. So I'm not worried about if you get yourself a little miffed in this show or something like that. However, I also don't want people going around believing something that I don't believe. So we'll get into that here in just a second. Second off, I want to issue a message to teachers everywhere. My hope is that we've kept teachers through the intro segment long enough here that you're wanting to check this stuff out. You probably know me in some way, or you've heard about me from somebody you trust who listens to the show. And I want you guys to listen very carefully. I want to issue a message to you. I think that you, as teachers, hold something so valuable and so wonderful. And I want to issue a message today for all teachers that it's time to step it up. I don't mean that as in you've been lazy. Do not hear me say that you have been lazy. I believe that you've probably worked your butt off harder than anything. But I want to talk today about what are practical, real steps that you can put into your life to push back against a crap system to get kids exactly what they need. So first thing I want to do today is I want to issue what I'm calling the butthurt disclaimer. That's right. I'm going to issue the butthurt disclaimer. I am going to say things that very potentially may offend you. I'm going to say things that may cause you to question your entire schema about parenting, or it's not parenting, about education and public education and being a teacher. My intent is not to destroy your life. My intent is to not break you down and leave you feeling like crap by the end of the show. My job, my desire for today is to tear down our false illusions. To take an honest assessment and an honest look today at public school, the education system, and your role as teachers, and ask ourselves how not could we make this better? What would make this better? We're not going to ask those questions. What I care about is what are you going to do to make it better? For those of you guys who aren't teachers out there that are listening to the show, hang on. Remember, we are our biggest advocate for our kids. We are the biggest advocate for trying to see these changes in our school districts. And if we cannot argue our point logically and respectfully, then we will get nowhere in this endeavor. So I want to encourage you guys to listen to the arguments today. Take the ones that you like, use them, word them however you want to word them to make them, own them in the way that will make them yours. And be ready to argue these things, not mean, not hatefully, but argue them in such a way where we can bring rational thought to an irrational and irregular system. So let's begin first by talking about let's clarify my beliefs. Now, I've thrown out several different posts, including I threw out a post, I think on Friday or maybe Saturday, but it was a picture of Michael J. Fox. So I have to assume, honest to goodness, guys, I haven't actually gone to verify and attribute the fact that he said this, but there was a quote that is being attributed to Michael J. Fox. And in his quote, it says that maybe if students can't learn the way we teach, we should change our teaching to the way they learn. And this sparked a little bit of a debate. Now, what I've found is that anytime I get into these conversations and I wind up offending somebody, the offense typically comes from a few people, typically two to maybe three categories. Number one is teachers. Teachers have a tendency to get offended at this. However, most of them don't say anything. They just don't say a word about it. The second thing that I see is that I offend somebody who is family or related or close to a teacher. So this can be somebody like a spouse of a teacher or the son and daughter of a teacher. Or the third category that I often see is somebody that was highly affected and influenced in a mentor-like way of a teacher in their life. Like, if I hadn't have been for this teacher, then maybe they wouldn't have survived. Maybe they wouldn't have ever made it through class. In some cases, you know, they saved their lives literally, like for suicide and those kinds of things. And so when they get offended, that's typically what it is. So I want to be very clear today about what I'm going to get onto. And so you're going to hear the ideas separated out. Two different things that rarely get separated out when I talk about these things, but I really do separate them here. A system and an individual. Now, I want to make sure to all the folks that are listening that are either a teacher or have a teacher in their lives, I am not insulting your person. Not your spouse, not your relative, not your friend. I'm not insulting them. I'm going to insult today a system. I am going to insult a very specific thing that I see a lot of teachers running around quite proudly in that I think is killing us. But we'll get to that here in a little bit. So what are my beliefs about public education? Number one, I actually believe that public education is the ideal. Oh, what, Trey? Now, for those of you guys that don't know, again, like we explained in the intro segment, the Casa or Homestead de Gibson has long since been a homeschooling family. Why is that? See, over a decade ago, so probably about 12 years ago, I got started into doing this field of counseling and psychology, and I worked for a place that allowed me to do basic level counseling type stuff with kids. And so one of the things that necessitated was that I did a lot of work with kids in school. And I would go to these schools, and I would often meet with these kids during classes that were, you know, not quite as important or as big of a deal and didn't mind the kids stepping out for a little bit. And so I would show up at these schools, and I would, you know, meet with them in a private room. Well, I set foot in almost every single school in this town. And we're talking all the way from the pre-kindergarten all the way to the seniors in high school. And in every one of these schools, I saw a teacher in one of their kids' faces, bawling them out, finger pointed in their face, and in most all cases, they were yelling. Elevated vocal tones, if nothing else. I got to see this in every single one of them, and I started to think to myself, is this really what I want my kids to go through? And so we made a decision as a family to begin homeschooling our kiddos. There's been a whole host of stuff that has happened in between those days and today that have reinforced our desire to homeschool and eventually make that decision to not put them in school, etc. at all. And so anyway, we stuck with this. And so I've made my belief systems on here very very vocal as to how we believe in homeschooling. However, in the reality, I think that public schooling is the ideal. I think the idea of allowing kids to go somewhere. Now, you got to understand, I am not saying that public school, the way the public school is today, is the ideal. I reject almost every freaking notion, save the social aspect that it can, but typically doesn't, it can provide. I reject almost every single notion of public schools today, public education today. But I will say this. I do believe that if a system could be modified, I think public school is the best. So here's what I'm saying. In a system where a kid could go to school and receive the very best in their fields, that doesn't mean a little kid who went and got a teaching degree and a degree in education and went and said, what can I learn, and went and learned a subject and started teaching it out of a book. That is not what I'm talking about. What I mean is a place where a kid could go where the very best math teachers or the very best science teachers or the very best literature teachers or the very best history teachers are available. They could sit down and learn from them, the people that love the field, the people that crave these fields and that teach it. Not for a paycheck. That they teach it not just because it was a way to make ends meet. They teach it because it's what they would do for free. This subject. Something that they learn about in their side interests, even when they don't need to. That is what I'm talking about. The ideal of a kid's getting to go to a public school where they have access to this level of teachers would be amazing. And yet we have coaches teaching our history classes. See, that infuriates me. So I believe in the ideal that a kid getting to go to a system where they get to experience, you know, these people that are experts in their field of study, getting to get mentored by them, I think is the ideal. The ability to be around peers, I think, is an ideal. You see, I think public education is the best thing to do if it was being done right. But the reality is that it's not. Now, I know I'm not speaking of all teachers, and before I get the 3,000 emails talking about how you know a good teacher, how you're a good teacher, I believe that you're a teacher in your field loving what you do. I know that you're out there, but you are a small exception. I'd even be willing to challenge you. Do you really love what you do? I'm not saying do you love aspects of it. I mean, do you love the subject that you teach? Are you passionate? Are you an expert, a professional in that field? Successful in that field? And now you want to teach kids how to do it too? I'm not saying that that's not what you are. What I'm saying is I want you to think about it. Many people have become professional teachers instead of professionals that want to teach their craft. This I have a problem with. But I believe that public education is an ideal. I believe that it is the better thing. However, we are not providing the ideal. Kids instead are required to come and learn about subjects that typically the teachers have no more passion about. Two best teachers that I have in my mind. Number one is a lady named Kathy Coleman. Math teacher. Wonderful in what she did. You want to know why? It's because she was brilliant. She was a brilliant mathematician. Excellent in what she did. She went exceptionally far, and eventually one day she wanted to retire to a small school and teach math the rest of her life. She was passionate about what she did, and I loved math because of her. Favorite guy I ever had is Mr. Cummings. Best dadgum science teacher I ever had. Why did I love science? Because he loved it. He loved blowing stuff up and teaching us solutes and solutions. He was great. Why did we love it? Why are those two some of my favorite subjects today? Because these were two people that were passionate and loved what they did. You see, that's what I'm talking about. If we could create that kind of environment, I would rather put my kids on a bus and send them home. You heard me. You heard me. So I do not think the public education system is the devil. I do not think that it is filled full of people that have the conniving plot and Gestapo style to lead my kids to serve those, you know, the SS for Germany. I don't think that at all. Here's what I think. I think most of the folks that go into this profession have soft hearts for kids. I think many of the folks that enter into this job have a desire to educate and see kids grow. I think most of these people love people. I think that when they go into it, when they stay with it for years and years and years, there really is the desire and the hope that they are changing lives. I believe in all of these things. But these things are not enough. You see, I think teachers typically have good hearts and good desires and good hopes, good belief systems about what they're going to create. I think they genuinely believe these things. But I challenge you to say, I don't think that they are happening. Why do I believe that? The very system in and of itself is actually flawed. It is built on a very early 1800s Prussian model of education system. If you've never heard of that, go check it out. Go look it up. Do a little research on the Prussian education model. But if you take a look at it, it's a major component of what makes up both the United States and several other educational systems, including Japan's educational system. So you know, a lot of people will read through this and say, well, what's necessarily the problem with this? Well, you got to look at where's the money coming? Where's it coming from? And so there was a political motivation by the King of Prussia at this time. They were moving away from an aristocracy at that time. And so the Prussian court wanted to put together a program that actually trained their individuals. Guys, go look it up. Don't take my word for any of this. So this is crazy. This is crazy Trey's conspiracy theories here. But they were looking to create a system that created obedience through indoctrination. And so what happened was they were looking to create a system to where the individuals in a society would learn to trust their leaders implicitly. So what they initially did was they tried to create a loyalty to the actual king at that time by training the kids to either go into something like military or bureaucracy. One of the major contributors to this Prussian model was a guy named Johann Gottlieb Feitsch. I'm not sure if I'm getting his last name right. Anyway, he said, and I quote, "If you want to influence the student at all, you must do more than merely talk to him. You must fashion him in such a way that he simply cannot will otherwise than what you wish him to will." Do you understand the entire goal of the Prussian educational system? Was to take the free rights of the individual to think for himself so that he would shut up and listen to his authority. Another major problem that I have about the Prussian, you know, general law and how it worked in regards to education is that this is the first time that you begin to see teachers created as a professional degree. Up until this point, a teacher was somebody who was in a field and wanted to pass their field craft along. So if there was a blacksmith, for instance, there was no blacksmith school necessarily. What you would do is that if you wanted to become a blacksmith, then you would sit under as a mentorship underneath a blacksmith. If you wanted to be a good blacksmith, you sat under a good blacksmith. If you wanted to be the best blacksmith, you did your very best to sit under the best blacksmith. So you would take a person who was talented and hopefully successful in their field, and you could sit down and learn from them. But this is where you began to see this idea of a professional educator, a professional teacher created. So many of you guys out there might be like, well, Trey, what's your problem with this whole idea of a professional teacher? You see, we reject this idea that public education system carries in its finest details for this reason. Public education here in the United States today says that kids need teachers. They need teachers to come along and take education and disseminate it to them. The model that we adopt here at the Homestead de Gibson that has worked without one single teacher is that kids do not need our help to learn. They do not need our abilities to learn something new, that within them they have the inherent and innate desire to learn new cool crap. They want to, that they desire to, that they have a need to know in a lot of ways. We call them sponges, right? They have a need to know new information, to assimilate it, to figure out how it works in this world. And that if we can just leave it alone, the kids will grow up with a natural innate desire as they go older and older and older to continue to want to learn new stuff. See, our educational system today does not encourage this. It says, no, if you want to learn how to do something, if you want to learn algebra or trigonometry or advanced calculus or biology, you've got to come to a teacher who knows what they're talking about. We say, no. No, you do not. You are capable of learning. Now, what is our job then? So you say, oh, great, Trey. So you're one of those guys who thinks that you should just leave your kid all day at home and let them figure out what they're going to do, and they're going to learn how to learn. They're going to play video games all day, right? It's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that our role is not to educate. Our role as parents is to provide them with every single resource that is imaginable to man whenever it is needed to help them learn the things that they want to learn. And you see, we reject this idea from the ground up that kids must have teachers to learn. You see, I think the development of a professional teacher was one of the worst jobs we've ever done. It was the worst decisions that we've ever made. I'm sorry. I am not trying to offend you if you are a teacher. But it was one of the worst things we've done is because we've taught kids that educating themselves is dependent on having a teacher around. And the reality is that is not true. A kid should never need a teacher to learn anything. But you see, kids have to have them, right? A while back, I was trying to teach my kiddo how to learn, my daughter Anna. And she was probably late five or early six, and we were trying to teach her to read, and I was getting so frustrated with her. If it wasn't for the fact that I already have ridiculously short hair, I probably would have grabbed it and pulled every single strand out. This little girl was not either getting it or not wanting to get it. So I finally chilled out, and we backed off, and we had a couple of books for her that we had been buying, and they had informations in biography, or biology, excuse me, and animals, and my daughter loved it, and we stopped reading it for her. And she was so upset that we weren't reading it to her anymore. I said, listen, baby, you're going to have to learn how to read if you want to. And she tried to wait us out for maybe 2-3 days, maybe a week. But then the next thing you know, she came in, and she sighed one morning, and she got out her stuff. She started asking us questions. Dad, what letter is this? That's an A, baby. We talked about the sounds that it made, and we did that for maybe a month. My daughter, in less than 3 months, taught herself how to read all by herself. My daughter is not a savant. She does not have some kind of high level of intelligence. I think she's a very average kiddo. Then why was she able to do what it takes sometimes an entire year to 2 years for a teacher to do in a public education system? Why? She was motivated. It was important to her to learn that. And the reality is, I have seen people self-educate themselves in algebra and trigonometry and go and ace the ACTs and the SATs, teaching themselves in a matter of months. This is a true story, by the way. One of these stories actually comes from the initial person who taught me about homeschooling to where we finally made that decision to do it. What had me was when she said that she decided she wanted to go to college about 3 weeks out before college started. And she said they realized that she was going to have to take an SAT, so she didn't know during that stretch of time any kind of algebra because her parents had did this unschooling thing. So she went and learned. In 3 weeks, she learned calculus or trig or algebra or something, algebra, I think. So I have a problem with the idea of a professional teacher, not in and of itself, but because I believe that it actually cripples kiddos from being able to do the one thing they were designed to do and do the best, and that's learn. So the process and the purpose of any educator, I think, should be, number one, to make sure that we provide our kids with the ability of how to learn. Learning how to learn is so much important. It was one of the things that sparked some controversy in that topic that actually came at a head to this show today. Was the point was, how do we tailor our educating to every single kid that is out there? That was a question. Now, it was asked a little bit defensively. But it's still a good question. How do we do that? The answer is, that's not the job of the teacher. The job of the teacher is to provide a kid with every single resource that they need at their disposal to learn. To learn whatever it is that they're interested in. Well, Trey, what if they're not interested in math? Let me tell you something. This world is really hard to get along in without math. I promise that something will catch their attention eventually. My son, Grant, has had no desire to be interested in math whatsoever. Made me a little nervous, I'll admit it. But let me tell you, the other day he decided that he wants to buy the assault rifle. No, he wants the minigun. He wants the minigun off of Halo. We found some things on Amazon that you can, you know, buy little cutouts. And these little suckers are supposed to be tough. And he offers, like, warranties. And if you break them for any reason, send them back. He'll send you a new one. I mean, apparently these things are built solid. My son wants one. So this little man who has showed no interest whatsoever in mathematics, now wants to know how much money he has. Now he wants to start asking me how much money he needs to get to buy this little minigun. Or wooden minigun, I should say. What is that? That's called subtraction. See what happened there? He all of a sudden became interested in that. We get this idea that kids will never be able to stay focused on this stuff. First off, there's a problem there in and of itself. If they're having a hard time staying focused, that's a problem. Yeah, but Trey, if they don't ever come in and use this stuff, they won't want to learn it themselves. Well, then I'm saying we haven't accurately connected the things that they're going to want with the things that they want to do. Yeah, but Trey, what if this is something that they may not absolutely need in their job, but they need to learn it? Then I would say, why the hell do they need to learn it? If they're going to walk into a field where they never need advanced trigonometry, why are we forcing them? If there ever reaches a point where they need to know how to do trigonometry, and you do the aforementioned way of teaching kids to where you teach them how to learn and how to find resources to learn instead of depending on us as teachers to learn, if you do that and they graduate from their school and they run out and they go do their own thing and they get set up, if they go out and get into a field and all of a sudden they realize, now, crap, I've got to have trigonometry, if we have taught them how to learn, they'll go do it. They won't need to come back to a teacher, a professional educator, to learn a thing, unless you've set up a system that teaches them to depend on it. Boom! Do you see what I'm saying here? You see, the most interesting thing about this Prussian education system is that eventually they moved it into law. There was a wonderful little man named Carl Abraham Freiherr von Zeidlitz. He decided that no longer do we need to have local control over our schooling. And he created a centralized, uniform system administered by the state during the 18th century. This was the nether of the biggest failures of the system that we use. This system says that you can't trust local people with control of education. We will centralize it, have one person or group of people making decisions for thousands and millions of other people. It's uniform. We're all going to do it the same, and we're going to administer it straight from the state. See, everybody likes the idea of a centralized control. The problem with centralized control is all it takes is the wrong person getting control. They can do a lot of hurt. But the other problem with removing anything from local control is that you lose a connection with that most fundamental piece that makes education work. And that's relationship. You see, when things are at local control, it allows people to understand who their kids are and what their kids need and to change accordingly. And we have robbed our teachers' ability to do this and then taught them that they must teach them exactly the way we show them, professional teaching, and that they must go in them and they must educate them in this system that has been created that is not working. We are first place in nothing as Americans. And yet we strut around, I'm a teacher, hey, I got this, man. Look how awesome we are. Look at hours that I put. First off, all these people that try to convince me that teachers have this hard job, that's a load of bullcrap. You get like 2 or 3 months off every freaking year that you get paid. What other job gets that? I'm not saying that during the school year your job is not emotionally taxing. I believe that it is. And I admire your character. As much as I have a hard time even saying this, I do admire your character for being willing to stick through something, for a belief system to help kids. I admire that. But you operate within a system that is so defunct, that is so messed up, that is so inefficient, that is so dysfunctional. You're not doing the things that you say you're set out to do because the system, the very environment that you're in, does not allow it. It is the epitome of a metaphor. It's like saying, man, I want to create a beautiful garden, and you buy all of these seeds, and you buy all of this stuff that you need, and you even get water and fertilizer. And you're like, man, look at all this awesome stuff here. And you walk out into a desert, and you throw the seed down, and you water it, and you think you've got crops. Some may grow, but most will not. Why is that? Because the environment that you are in is not conducive to the end result that you believe in. A desert is not a good place to throw out your standard cool-weathered perennials. And yet that is what we do in this educational system. We take wonderful resources like you, the teacher, or the teacher that's in your life, and we throw them into an environment that does not produce healthy growth. That is our current educational system today. It is not conducive for learning. It is not conducive for teaching kids how to learn. And it frustrates me to no end that teachers run around claiming to be doing amazing things, silently leaving little memes about how teachers need pats on the back. I'm not going to pat anyone on the back who runs into a desert and throws seeds out and talks about, look how valiantly I'm trying to grow gardens for the world. I'm not trying to hurt your feelings. Honest to God, I am not trying to hurt your feelings. But we've got to wake up to this. Our system is broken. I get people that ask me all the time, Trey, what should we do about our educational system? How could we, you know, reform our educational system to make it work better? That is a ludicrous question. That would be like bringing me a car that is a jalopy, that things are broken and destroyed, that doesn't run, the engine doesn't even connect to the transmission, bringing me something that the mufflers are completely missing, the tires are absolutely gone, the steering wheel is so bent you can't even make it turn. That's like bringing me this car that the radiator is completely missing and the alternator is not there and the battery is so old that it's so corroded it can't take a charge, and then asking me, Trey, how should we fix this? The answer to it is you scrap it. You throw it away. You don't try to make something work that is destroyed. I would not. I absolutely would not reform the educational system that we have. It is broken. It is messy. And it is not working. Is that you, the individual's responsibility as a teacher? Is it your fault? No, it's not. Now, I will say you're being lied to. And from today on, at least, with all the information in your repertoire, you at least can't walk out of today and say, well, I didn't know. Because now you do. But it's not your fault that the system was created. It's a mess. It was designed to create obedience from people, not teach them. It was designed to get people thinking. I've heard certain people describe it as that it creates blue collar. That it's solely and 100% based upon this idea that we create people that clock into a job, they perform exact duties in an exact same way at an exact same time, right? It's the bell for us, saved by the bell. In the exact same time, perform, get an hour-long lunch break, perform, and then clock out and go home. Does that sound familiar? This system is not conducive for teaching life. It's conducive for teaching how to obey, how to be good little workers. It's very fascinating how Prussia was right on the very cusp of creating an industrial revolution. They were going to move into standard industry, so they were going to move away from the agrarian lifestyle and bring things in and start working on building industry and infrastructure. So what do you need to run any good industry? You need workers. You see, I think America loved it too. We needed and wanted workers, people that obeyed, that did what they were supposed to do when they were supposed to do it. And we set up an educational system that teaches our kids to do exactly that. And one of the last major parts of Prussian model that bothers me some of the most is that it is compulsory. Word compulsory means required by law or rule, obligatory. It also means involving or exercising compulsion or coercive. You see, the interesting thing about this is that the reality is public education is not a free market. Most of the folks that listen to us, even the ones that disagree with me on many of these points, are major big free market people. They believe that this country was designed to have an absolutely free market. Compulsory is the antithesis of free market, and a compulsory education system is the antithesis of real authentic learning. You see, the reality is compulsiveness or compulsory anything is an indication of something that doesn't work. If something works, people, humans, are naturally drawn to it. When something works, the results that we get from it, whether it be by buying it or by using it, it is that thing that indicates whether or not something works. In most cases, whenever you have to force something, it's because it doesn't work. Nobody wants it. It sucks. How about Obamacare? Why are so many people having such a hard time with it? Because they are making it compulsory. Why are they making it compulsory? Because it sucks and they know it. The ubiquitous they know it doesn't work. But they don't care. That's not what it's about. It's not about offering amazing health care. It's about money. It's about taxes. It's about recognizing there's money to be, quote-unquote, made, revenue, to be made when it comes to health care. So we're going to shove it down your throat. Either volunteer or we're going to take your money anyway. It's compulsory. Well, I take that back. You do get to choose. You can either choose to do it or choose to get fined if you don't do it. Right? It's one of the number one things. If you are making something compulsory, it's probably because it sucks. Compulsory education is something that is required to be done because it does not work. And I have a problem with that. So now that we've kind of clarified my beliefs, I want to issue a message to you teachers today. It is time to step it up. The system that you are in does not work. It is ineffectual. It is inefficient. And it is not educating our children. It is tearing them down, and it is creating perfectly little obedient children incapable of thought, incapable of learning themselves. It is not a good system. And you are effectually caught up in the middle of it. My biggest bane with teachers today is not that they're teachers. It's not that they're public school educators. I really do not mind that. What I have a problem with is teachers that claim in some kind of noble way that I am doing everything that I can for children. And it's the biggest farce and the biggest lie I've ever heard. Teachers that are moving into the system and talking about, oh, the system is so bad. It's got such bad this. It doesn't provide that. It's so bad. And they don't do anything about it. They sit there and they complain about how bad it is, but they do nothing. So I want to be very clear today. Who am I talking to? You are not a good teacher if you are operating within a system that is built on old, faulty belief systems that I believe were rotten from the core to begin with. But let's just say you don't see it that way. Let's just say you understand that the system is not working. If you sit there and operate in the system that sucks and talk about how bad it is, but you don't do anything, you are not a good teacher. I'm not trying to hurt your feelings, but it's time to get this straight. If you are operating within a system that sucks, And all you're doing is complaining about how bad it is, and you do nothing. You care more about what you need and what you want. Don't rock the boat. Than what these kids need. Than what works for them. I'm not saying that to destroy your worldview or your schema of life. I'm saying that because I want you to begin thinking, because you can't even begin changing a thing until you're ready to acknowledge that there's a thing that needs to be changed. And it is not the ubiquitous them. It is not the Department of Education. They will do nothing for you because these departments care about one thing, and it's about keeping themselves alive. They don't care about kids. Entities and organizations cannot care about kids, but the individual can. That is why it should remain on the local level. If you're going to do it at all, that's why it should remain on the local level. I don't think education belongs in the hands of a government anyway. There is too much that can occur within that is a conflict of interest. Because there's too much control on the government, on the educational system, and on the curriculum that they provide, that I don't think they should ever be there. And they should know better, and they shouldn't want to be involved with that. So that history can accurately reflect the right things. So what needs to change? You. You, the teacher. You, the spouse of a teacher who has influence with them. My message for teachers today is it's time to step it up. I'm going to read you just a quick article here. I typically don't have great things to say about teachers. It's not because I don't like you. I probably love you as a person. But I often don't have a good thing to say about teachers because there are so many teachers that are great little obedient teachers who come in and parrot exactly what they're told to parrot, but they do not think. Who aren't doing anything to help their kids out. And I want to read to you guys today some articles about teachers that have made up their mind. A handful of districts across New York State this month have refused to allow students to take state tests that are unique for what they don't do. The Fairpoint, Webster, and West school districts in the Rochester area and six districts in the Lower Hudson Valley refuse to let their students take the field tests. They've been tested, and now we do another test, said Shara Miskell, the sixth grade math teacher and president of Auburn Teachers Association. It adds that much more stress for students. Now, I want to take a side segue here and make sure that the folks out there that are going to try to criticize this understand that I'm clear on this. I do not have a problem with kids being stressed out. I think kids need to be stressed. I don't think that they're accurately prepared and ready for life if they haven't experienced some pretty heavy stress and learned how to deal with it. If they haven't learned how to cope with it, if they haven't learned how to solve problems, if they haven't learned how to think outside the box, I get it. Kids need stress. And before I get run off and told that kids are trying to be, you know, powder their butts and flower them and don't ever let them have any kind of uncomfortable experience, I disagree with that. I think they should be very uncomfortable. But I love this response. This is a parent, this is a teacher who is thinking about what their kids need and saying, let's step up and do it. West Janice School District Superintendent Christopher Brown said that he tried to opt out of giving field tests to students this district year. I refused the field test at first because they received progressive calls from NYSED encouraging me to give them. I still resisted until I was told that I might be putting funding in jeopardy by not giving them. I intend to refuse again next year to see if I get a different answer or if others will join in and maybe we can speak through strength in numbers, he said. Now, I want to be clear. I think Mr. Brown here is still being cowardly. They threw the money thing at him. If you don't get this, then you're going to lose your money and your funding. You see, this is what happens when you centralize anything. They control the money. They control the curriculum. Then they control you. You see, they took it out of the local level. And what happened? Now, you're going to take this money that I have to give you, or you can lose your money. See what happens? Do you think these parents these people give a flying flip about the students? No. No, they don't. They sure don't. But I do appreciate that Mr. Brown is finally recognizing it's time to step up. I still don't think he's got the stones yet. He's looking to see if everybody else will do it. And what we need is a group of you teachers to stand up and say, no. No, I won't do this. I won't test my kids on these ridiculous things. Now, some of you guys will argue these are field tests, and I do agree. These are tests. What they're refusing in this particular case is a series of tests that are actually helping the educators test the tests, basically. But these are the kind of people that we need that are willing to have the cojones. Guys, if you don't like the words stones or cojones, you're listening to the wrong show. Just go ahead and turn me off. If you haven't already, turn it off now. But we need somebody with the intestinal fortitude to stand up and say, this sucks for kids. No, I won't do it. We need teachers to step it up and start valuing the thing that they say is the most valuable, which is the education of our children, the future, we say, of this great nation. We need people that will step up and say, you know what? This isn't right. This isn't working. I refuse to take part in it. I refuse to facilitate it. We need teachers that are ready to be defiant to a system that has been abusing and metaphorically raping our children and our teachers for so very long. I'm not saying that you grab a sign and you go out picketing in front of the White House. As a matter of fact, I believe in protecting the right to a nonviolent picketing. I believe in that. But I think it's retarded. I don't think it gets anything done. I don't think it causes anybody to sway their point. What I think you should do is your school should just get together and make the decision and just be quiet about it. Just be quiet about it. Adhere to what y'all believe is the right thing to do. Do the very bare minimum that you need to keep yourself out of trouble. But start doing what your kids need. Start evaluating child and human development. And ask yourself if the system that you're using is really the right one. Or are you following it? Because you don't want to lose your moonies. Please, sir, can I have some more? What I want is teachers like this with the stones to step up and say, you know what? This isn't right. This isn't working. It doesn't work for kids. Screw it. We're not going to do it. We're going to opt out of these tests. That is the class of educator individual we need. Ones that are willing to do the right thing. My hope is that today this show will be the beginning of many teachers that will begin to think, the beginning of many teachers that will begin to assess and do the right thing for kids, to help them learn the best they can, to understand what their brains need, and to follow through. To gain support, not by bashing and slamming and calling people stupid idiots, but by gaining their respect, earning their trust, and persuading them. Engendering action and going out and doing it. I also think that we should do away with the professional teacher. Unless you're teaching other people how to educate, maybe. Now, I don't even know if I can go for that. We need to bring back skill sets and loves. Things that we got into because we desired to do them and love them and were successful in them and bring those things to our kids. But I'm not willing to even push that hard at this point. What I want to see is teachers to stay up and say, you know, no more. You don't get to decide what's best for kids anymore because we know it's not. And I'm willing to do whatever it takes. Well, that's all that we have for this episode of the Family Podcast Network, helping you work with your tough kids and even those that aren't. Don't forget, this Wednesday we have another show of the Family Podcast Network, followed by this Friday, where Jeff and I will be on to go over another episode of the Real Family Guys Podcast. Hey, you guys, hang in there this week. Be thinking about what you need to be doing. And if nothing else, we'll see you guys on Wednesday.